Okay, we're about ready to start on Tzadi Aleph, page Kuf Chavav. We were talking about some stories when Reb Levi Yitzchak visited his Talmud, Reb Shmelke, from Nicholsburg. And there were unusual things that Reb Levi Yitzchak did, but they always had to do with his tremendous connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And yesterday we talked about his having coffee made for him. There was another story, for example, in that same trip, is that during davening, Reb Levi Yitzchak was all over the place. He was all over the place. Here, there, everywhere. And at the end of the davening, there was a woman in the kitchen, in the base medrash base, like the kitchen over here, whatever. And there was a pot of warm milk on the stove. And Reb Levi Yitzchak, all his towels and filling around, whatever. He goes over, he tastes the milk, and he says there's too much water in the milk. You know, they watered down the milk, he says there's too much water in the milk. And the people were like totally astonished at this action that he did. But Rav Shmelke says, if my Rebbe did this, he had a good reason for doing this, we may not understand what it was. And later on, it was clarified that at the same time, somewhere else in the city, there was a woman who just had a baby, and the baby was very sick, and the nursing of the mother wasn't working. And at the moment that Reb Levi Yitzchak said, it has to have milk, the way the tzaddik said, it has to be all milk. He said, it's too much water, it has to be all milk. At that moment, her nursing improved. So obviously the tzaddik understood what was going on in the town. And later they found out that a lot of Yeshuas, a lot of salvations came in that city, and they found out that it all came out from what he was doing. And he lived in a certain way, like he lived with Hashem every second. And he would walk in certain ways that his walking would be funny, but the way he walked would make a letter. He'd walk in a way to make a letter, so he would be thinking of the Shem Hashem. He was always living with Hashem every second in how he spoke and how he walked, etc. So there are people who really live in this reality, as the main point we're saying is that they're living in the world of Atahu Atchalo Nivra Olam. You are the one even before the world was created. And there are people who look at all the physical things in this world and they see them as merely garments of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's how they live. So continuing on in Kuf Chav Vav, 126. Yesh Lahavin, we have to understand, Yistak Lazu, this type of perspective, Yistak Lusapinimis Hoamitis Alabruim, this is the true, deep perspective of creation and the way a Jew is supposed to look at this world. And now we get an added benefit from this. Kesher Mistaklim Alanivroim Kimitzius Atzmis. If a person looks at the creation as independent realities, Hare Moridim es Erkam, we lower down their value. Ki kol malas adavar, because the real value of anything in this world, Nimdad ad kama yesh elokus bekirba, it's measured by how much godliness is inside of it. Vizu kol maloso, and this is its entire value, and it has no other value. What makes the coastal Maravi, what makes those rocks at the coastal Maravi so special? Isn't because some of those rocks are so big that they weigh tons, and they still don't understand how Shlomo HaMelech was able to move those rocks. If you go to a secular tour of Eretz Yisrael, they'll tell you how, you know, they estimate that the mass of some of the lower level stones are unbelievably heavy. And they don't know how this was done. And that's the greatness of the Kosel Maravi. Right? But that's not how a Yid is supposed to measure the greatness of the stones of the Kosel Maravi. We measure it because it's bordering the Har HaBayis. It's bordering the Temple Mount area. And that's how, when you look at certain things and you figure what is its value, right? You look at different things around here, you know, you look, you know, you look at a shtender, right? That shtender, the lectern's value is how many thousands of tefillos, how many thousands of Shmoneh Esreis were set on that shtender. You know, you look at the table, you look at this tape recorder, how much Torah is in this tape recorder. Wasn't this tape recorder until somebody mistakenly erased it. Okay. But that's its inherent value. You know, not that you could put on millions of Goyish songs on it. Right? And more than that, when we look at that's inanimate objects, how about real how about people? You know, when you value your child, you say, oh, my child is great because he has such a cute smile. Then what you really are doing is you're devaluing him. If that's the only reason you love your kid, or your kid is special because he has the cutest smile, then, you know, that's not the reason to love a kid. Right? You know, you love the kid because he's in the Tzelem Elohim, and he's a future tzaddik. He's a prince of the Jewish people, or a princess of the Jewish people. That's why you love your kid. That's what makes your kid special. It's a tzaddik in training. That's the real value of a Jewish child. That's what gives a child value. How about when we evaluate ourselves? You know, we evaluate our spouses, right? So, you know, there's wrong ways to evaluate ourselves. There's correct ways to evaluate ourselves. You know, we can evaluate ourselves by how much we weigh. And we can forever spend koiches and time on worrying about our weight, and this diet, and that diet, and everything. I'm not meaning to say that there's an inyan to take care of your weight so that you can be a healthy person. Okay, but when it gets beyond that, you know, when it gets beyond that, and people spending forever on this topic, you know, And then after a lifetime, you spend hours and hours, years and years on the topic of your diet. You know, so then what do you have to show for it at the end of a lifetime? I'm going to tell Hashem, so what do you do with all your time? Oh, I spent a lot of time working on my weight. I had a perfect figure. My mom had a perfect figure. My mom was the perfect physical specimen in the world. So Hashem, so much Torah did you learn? I was busy being a perfect physical specimen. So you devaluate yourself when you focus. Again, there is within reason. You know, you want to lose weight? The simple diet. Eat less. Finished. You're going to lose weight. It's not a question. Just eat less. That's all. Don't eat at 12 o'clock at night. You know, eat. When you get older, you know, you have to eat less than when you were 20 years old. Just eat less and you'll be fine. You're not... Don't eat till you're full. Follow what the Rambam says, and you'll be fine. You're not going to gain weight. What if we evaluate ourselves by how much parnasa we make? Right? How much parnasa you make? And if you're making X amount of dollars, then you're a chashuv yid. And if you don't make X amount of money, you're not a chashuv person. Right? That's not how HaKadosh Baruch Hu evaluates us. It's not how HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees our inherent value. He sees we're in the Tzelem Elohim, and what do we do with that? Well, how much do we reflect Hashem in our lives? That is the value that we have. Right? So, and that's the only way we measure the value of things. You know, when you see people today, like they almost run after celebrities and sports figures to run after getting someone's autograph. It's almost the biggest shtus in the world. Biggest shtus to get somebody's autograph. You know, I got a genuine Babe Ruth signed baseball. You know, that's the alma de shikra. It's the world of falseness. You know, they're all low life scum. Almost all. I shouldn't say all, but the majority of them. Are low life scum, and on drugs and steroids and everything else, right? But they have no morals, and even if they did have morals, what do you need their autograph for? What do you need their autograph for? So a check is good to have an autograph. If you want to have a rich guy's autograph on a check, that's a good thing. Collecting for a shul, to to get Bill Gates' autograph on a check is a good thing. But otherwise, what do you need an autograph for? I mean, the Mamish Ron, they idolize these people. They're Mamish Choshev because what? So you know, that's not the value, and that's what we run it. But when it comes to a tzaddik, nobody runs after a tzaddik. No one's looking for a tzaddik to follow a tzaddik. So, you know, because the tzaddik has a locus. The tzaddik has godliness inside of him. What godliness is in this rock star? It's Mamish a menuvel shebenuvolim. You know, there's nothing there. But people idolize this one and that one, and we have to look, when is something worth something? It's how much godliness is coming out of this being. That's how much it's worth. And that's what gives it its worth. Right? That's what we gotta always, when we're looking at things, how much godliness is there? And that's what he continues. He says, Shar divrei hamalos hamurgolos b'mazeh, every other evaluation that we give, if it's based on any other criteria, heim gidre malo shel alma de shikra. There are levels, there are different levels in the world of falseness. Alma de shikra, the world of lies. It's all a lie. Right? People run after politicians, they run after this, it's all a lie. Ulam b'emes malos kol davar lafi gila aluka shibakirba. But the true value of anything is according to the level of godliness that resides inside of it. Ula kach, and therefore, kasher adam roes ha'doimim tzumeh ha'chayim adabar. When a person looks at the external, inanimate, plant, living, and speaking entities in this world, how do they look at it? How are you supposed to look at it? Lafi mab p'nimish alokos ha'tom v'kurbo. When you look at it based on the godliness, the inner view, via the godliness that is embedded inside of it, azai hu mala maale es madregas hanivroim kulam. He thereby elevates the level of everything that's created in this world. Madregas nivra kepshuto, from the level of a simple created being, la madregas nivra shedovuk belokus. He's elevated to a created being that is attached to God. You're upgrading something's estimation in your eyes, or someone's estimation in your eyes, from just a created being to a being that is attached to God. So an animal that is properly shechted, a bracha is made on the shechita, and you made a proper shechita on it, and you did all the mitzvahs around it, it has kedusha in it, because it is revealing godliness inside of it. That's what it is. That's the proper way to upgrade those things. You're elevating. This is how it's connected. Everything you're using in this world should be used in a way via some type of a mitzvah, a Kodesh Baruch Hu. As we said many times from the Chovos Havavos, everything you do in this world, every single thing you do is either a mitzvah or an aveira. There's no parv entities in this world. No such thing as a parv thing. Either you're using it to get yourself closer to God, or you're using it to distance yourself from God. So if you're having a coffee this morning, to keep you awake, that coffee is getting closer to God. If you're drinking that coffee and you appreciate what God does to you through that coffee, you've elevated that bit of coffee. And using a pen to write notes in your safer, you're elevating that pen. And everything has a value because you're attaching it to God, and now it's something special. V'yesh lelokus gilu b'kirba. There is in this godliness a revelation inside of it. Zu kol malas hanivra. This is the only value of any created being. Ad kama shedarko mishtakef miskaleh halokus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To see how much every created being, according to its way, is able to reveal the godliness of Hashem that is within inside of it. So, in other words, to appreciate this world more of what, and to get a true view of what this world actually is, you have to be able to see the godliness of everything inside of it. That's the true way of seeing it, and that's the true way of upgrading the value that it has in your eyes as opposed to anything else. And there are many things that don't reveal a lot of godliness in this world that shouldn't be used for that. Okay, Kuf Chav Zayin. 127. Kasher Adam Zoich, if a person merits, for whom Mabit Bitsura shall Achaloni Vralam, Gam Bitocha Mishani Vralam, when a person is able to view the world in such a way, how? Of seeing the Achaloni Vralam, seeing the before the world was created part within the after the world was created part, seeing the godliness part of it within the superficial part of it. When a person merits that, what will happen? As mikol davar bebriya, then in anything in creation, who yochel iskarev ulistabek al yodah l'kodesh baruch hu, he is able to get close and to cleave to Hashem through these things. All these things, if you know how to look this way, everything is a way to connect you to Kodesh Baruch Hu. V'habriya einena maus chatzitza beino levein kono. And the creation does not act as a barrier between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the problem with a lot of things in this world. A lot of things in this world are barriers between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, if a person who values sports, and sports is the most important thing in your life, that is a big barrier between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you create a value to these things. Those things you run after, so those are the things you think are important. So that is an automatic barrier between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's taking you away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you really saw the true value, that's mamish narish, and ishtus, then you wouldn't be involved in it. If you look at a lot of things, you know, some people, their whole lives are to shop. You know, shop to drop. It's going to come up now. Boxing Day, all these things. Mamish. Spend 10 hours next Tuesday shopping. I'm not saying you're not supposed to shop. If you need something, you have to buy it. But it's
at
like
2 a.m. You need to go to
it's like you go in. It's like, well, it could be the only time you have to go.
But that
could be if that's the only time. And you're going for a quick trip, then that's fine. But if you need to buy a pair of shoes, you need to buy a pair of shoes. If you're not supposed to go without shoes. But you just go, like I said, you just go in, spend your 5 minutes and go out, and that's it. Do what you got to do, the less amount of time as possible. Just get it done with. But you know, it's like a whole activity. It's a whole fun. You know, it's, you know, teenage girls especially are susceptible to this. You have to be patient with them. What do you want to do to have some fun? Let's go to the mall. I'm getting too much colored commentary over here. So to them it's a whole activity. You know, just to see what's out there and this and that. You know, listen, do you need something? You know, you speak to your daughter, you see a closet full of clothes. You say, do you need something? Do you have nothing to wear? Well, nah, it's all not in style. I want to see what else out there, you know. It's okay, you know, Hashem should bless their souls that, you know, that's, but you know, I guess there's nothing else. They're good Jewish girls. They don't go out with boys, and they don't do these things. So they're not on drugs, and not on that. So, okay, they're not totally sophisticated just to sit and say Tehillim like their grandmothers in Europe did all day long, right? Okay, so they need to do something. But you know, as they will get older, they will appreciate that, you know, shopping is not an activity. You know, when they'll get older, they'll have kids. They'll be busy with real things. And they're going to see how shopping is such an imposition on their lives. So you'll see some of these things are real barriers between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, but to the degree that you see the godliness in them, then they're not a barrier, because those things that are negative, you just discard them. And other things that are there, you'll use them for what they were meant to be used for. If you really appreciate what it is there for, you will use it exactly, and you will connect to Hashem through these things, and they won't be money. Money, if you know how to look at money, you will see it as something to connect you to Hashem, and not to be a barrier between you and Hashem, because you use your money for mitzvahs. You're making money, and you know the money only has one purpose. How do I use this money to connect myself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And if you have X amount of dollars, what do you do with the dollars? You spend them on tuitions for your kids. You spend them on tzedakah. You're spending on buying food to have guests for Shabbos. And you're using that money to connect you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not to separate you from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? So that, but you have to look. You look at that dollar bill in your pocket. Okay, and what is its value and what is not its value? You know, sitting in a bank, getting interest, and just staying till you die. You know, and working harder to make more of that stuff just till you die, so your kids have what to split up after you're dead, you know, is not the right value of what money is. And if you look at a dollar bill, how am I going to do a mitzvah with this dollar bill? Then you're using that money to connect you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So everything. See, if you have this view, everything will connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu. There will be no barrier between you and Kadosh Baruch Hu. Vizos, and why is that so? The person strips away that outer view. Umagalas HaKadosh Baruch Hu bekerav kol dover. He reveals the godliness in everything that's there. You bring out and you use it in the way that Kadosh Baruch Hu wants you to do it. And then there's all kinds of benefits when you do that. Ozai, if you're living that way, Reishi, so the beginning, the number one benefit is Li'olam lo mechuber lemikra hanivroim v'chom asem. You're not attached to the happenings that surround and affect created beings and the things that they do. Elohu makir, but he recognizes, on the other hand, Shala'olam en yad shal nivra be'emtza. There really is no real intermediary power that's really involved in things happening. Val yedekein, and therefore sholel es. Take out one of the extra s's. He's chabrusol anivroim masem v'tolos masem. He rejects a total connection on a physical level to these created beings, their happenings, and the things that come out of them. What does he mean to say? It's a little tricky line. What he's trying to tell us over here. He's saying, and the Maral says this idea. He says, in the physical realm, right, there are circumstances of life affect things, physical things, in a physical way. There's laws of atrophy, things like that. The Maral talks about things we talked about, things made out of chomer and tzura. Chomer is mass, and tzura is shape. Right? Things that are chomer are just things that are physical, very, very physical, and the world and happenings relate to physical things and impact on physical things. The physical world is very open to being affected by the physical changes and happenings that surround physical things. Physical things get old. Physical things can get pushed around. The weather can affect them. That's physical things. Truly spiritual realities are never affected by the physical realm. On the deepest level, they're not affected by the physical realm. But the more things are mugushim dik, the more things that are physical, the more they are affected by the physical realities. So, what the tzaddik, you could look at yourself. If you look at yourself purely as a physical being, you see how the physical realm is affecting you. You're getting older. Now, you could spend a lifetime trying to fight that. You know, anti-aging creams, anti-this, you know. And you can spend your whole life fighting, but there's a physical reality. The physical reality is you're getting older, and you're going to leave this world. That's the physical reality. Now, you can spend your whole life dealing with that. You could be like the ladies who are in the club for 6 hours a day, so they could still look like they're 18, even though they're 50 years old, you know. And they can spend their whole lives in that realm. And they're so affected by everything going on in the physical realm. You know, a new thing comes out, tells you to jump, you ask how high. And that's just spending your time. So you'll be affected by that. Or if you're looking in a spiritual realm, these things don't bother you. You know, one of the few things I can say I'm okay in is I'm not worried about getting old. I really am not. Baruch Hashem. I got a lot of other chesronos, but that one I don't have a chesron. I'm not worried about getting old. I'm not worried about how, what people think I'm as handsome as I used to be, face, whatever. It doesn't bother me at all. It's like an Irish kite. I'm getting old. I'm getting gray. I'm losing my hair. And that's life. You know, I got to take care of myself. So I have to take care of myself insofar as that I'm an Eved Hashem, that I shouldn't get sick, and I shouldn't let myself go as I get older. Okay, so you have to have less attachment to the physical world. You have to have less attachment to those wonderful desserts that younger people can still eat. Right? You got to realize, because you're getting older. But this doesn't bother me. So I'm getting older. So fine. So I'm getting older. So if anything, you got to worry about getting more tzedel l'derech. You need more food for the long trip. So I'm worried about, you have to learn more. I've got to be ready for the final exam. Mm. So, but there are those people who mamash, especially women, you know, it drives them nuts that they're getting older, and then they think their husbands don't love them anymore the same way. They're not as pretty as they were when they first got married. Maybe he doesn't like me because of that, you know. And all those narishkeit, and you're spending your whole time, you're letting the physical world affect how you think and feel. So Taka, if a man and woman got married 20 years ago, because of their looks, you're right, it's gonna go. So they're fighting tooth and nail to keep their looks going. It's mamash and avoida. Their whole life, and they're affected by, you know, you're getting older, you're getting uglier. Not ugly isn't the word, but you're not as young. But people, yeah. So they get all nervous and they're afraid, and you have to make sure that, you know, your husband doesn't look at other women now, the younger women, the ganze geschäft, because they're totally into that physical realm. The more you're in the physical realm, the more you're locked into that physical realm. But the more that you're focused on the spiritual realm, then that's the world you're focused on, and that world will not aggravate you, and you won't, the spiritual realm isn't going to take you over in a negative way to distance yourself from Hashem. Right? So that's one of the advantages of living in a deeper reality, makes you less vulnerable and dependent on physical realities. So getting back to our discussion of anger, if you're not so focused in the physical realm, you're not going to allow circumstances of life to get you angry. You'll never hear the line of a person with a deeper view of life saying, I couldn't control myself, he made me angry. What do you mean? He made you angry, says the physical world controls you. An 8-year-old kid who does what 8-year-old kids do sometimes, and they don't let up. I couldn't control myself. It was a whole day. I finally had to smack him because I was trying to control myself. What do you mean trying to control yourself? That's what an 8-year-old is. Finished. Hashem is testing you. What do you mean? Hashem wants you to work on your, if you're looking at the kid as the venue to test your control, and you're looking at it as the fulfillment of the curse of Tsar Gidel Bonim that Hashem gave first man and first woman. So that's the Yisurim Shalava that you take in this world. And you see a potential tzaddik that it's like a wild thoroughbred that has to be broken in. So that's a wonderful challenge to try to develop to such a child. But he's not going to make you angry. Things aren't going to make you depressed. You marry off a kid, so you get depressed that you're losing the kid. Or you say, Baruch Hashem, I was able to fulfill the mitzvah. Baruch Hashem, I was able to bring the child to the chuppah and marrying a wonderful boy. And Baruch, now getting withdrawn, I'm going to miss them, this and that. You're too physically connected to what's going on over here. You got to look at, you fulfilled the mitzvah. Right? I'll just finish one story quick. It's a story with the Chortkeva Rebbe. Right? So a person went to many, had a sick child. He was sick, whatever. Went to many, many doctors. All the doctors said, no hope. So he goes to the church of a Rebbe, and the Rebbe says, you know, Nebuch, it's a problem. I feel bad for you. But it wasn't exactly what the guy wanted when he went to the Rebbe. You go to a Rebbe, you're looking for a bracha, right? There's no brachas coming from him. So in Mitten, a chassid of the church of Rebbe comes and it reports the exact same problem. And he says, oi, Hashem should help you. And he showers him with all kinds of brachas. Right? The other one, he said, Nebuch, there's nothing I can do for you. The other one, he's showering him with brachas. So the guy kind of in a nice way says, Rebbe, I don't understand. There's favoritism here. Your chassid comes, you give him a bracha. And to me, you have nothing to say for me. So the Chartkeva Rebbe says like this. He says, you know, in the pasuk in Mishpatim, it says when you injure a person, you have to pay for damages, and it says v'rapo yirapei, and for the doctor bills, you pay the doctor bills. So what is the Gemara on that? Rashi brings the Gemara, says mikan niten rishus lerofe lerape. From here, we learn that there's license for a doctor to heal somebody. So the tzaddik says, what does it mean from here? Mikan. From here, from the Torah. From a tzaddik who's connected to the Torah. Do you have the rishus to go to the doctor? In other words, this chassid, my chassid, before he goes to the doctors, he went to me for a bracha. Because he knew what the problem is. There's a spiritual issue. You go to the Rebbe for a bracha, you go, you talk to Hashem, and then he says, okay, Hashem, now, where do I go? How are you going to save me? Which doctor, which tool will I use that is the medium for you to save me? So he goes to the Tzad Mikan. If you start from here, from the Torah, from Hashem, then Nitin Rishus L'Rape. Then you go to go to the doctor to heal you. Because you see the doctor is only a medium. He's not the God. But you went to all the doctors first, so where, I have no way to give you a bracha. I have nothing to give you a bracha to. Because you're looking at the doctors as your salvation. You know, that's living in the Alma de Shikra. That's the doctor could do nothing for you. He's just a pawn in God's hands, and Hashem can bless the doctor to do it successfully or not. And that's how we have to look at everything in life, and we have to hope that we live a life that circumstances do not affect the way we feel, the way we act. So we should talk and work on it to Shabbos. Shabbos is always a day to do these kinds of things and to meditate on these things. We should be zocha that we should be able to be in control of our lives and not to have our lives be in control of the superficial view of life that affects how we act and feel.